Not to make that choice is below the high principles that I have seen in your behavior over all these years." Gold promptly responded to Bass with another letter of his own, also copied to board members. "I have not talked to the press at all, with the exception of Laura Holson at the New York Times. I cleared that discussion with Michael prior to speaking with Ms. Holson. I know that you and Michael find it difficult to believe that I have not spoken with the press, but that is the truth. He has accused me on several occasions of talking to the press, including Bruce Orwell of the Wall Street Journal. He told me that Orwell had told him that I had spoken with him. I denied it because it was not true. With respect to employees, investors, and fund managers, let me set the record straight. You cannot go anywhere in this town, or any other city for that matter, without someone approaching you to complain about Disney's performance and management's inability to address the problems. I have had fund managers tell me they won't buy a share of stock in the company while Michael Eisner is CEO. I have had employees, senior executives, tell me the company would be much better off with a new management team. Morale at the company is at an all-time low. I have not leaked this information. It is common knowledge. I have not made it public, and I have not even encouraged it. Sid, it is a fact that everyone in the financial community is well aware of the depths to which the company has fallen. Financial performance has been stagnant for at least 5 years. Capital has been squandered on numerous investments and projects. And lastly, perhaps more importantly, the creative side of the Walt Disney Company has been lost or abandoned. Rather than taking responsibility for the factual realities, the answer of management is to attack anyone in sight, including me. I am afraid that when you, of all people, join in this chorus, you are merely acting as Torquemada's adjutant. The problem at the Walt Disney Company is not Stanley Gold. It is not leaks, real or imagined, or unprofessional conduct, but instead, it is poor performance, lack of credibility and accountability, and poor capital allocation. When anyone, much less a director, simply trying to professionally discharge his fiduciary duties, raises these issues, the company's defense is character assassination. Today, they are focused on me. In the past, they have used this tactic on others, and there will be new victims in the future. Is it no wonder that many directors are afraid to speak up, lest they find themselves the focus of Michael's wrath? Sid, I value our long friendship, and would be pleased to discuss this with you at greater length at your convenience. In the midst of these mounting tensions, Eisner sought to reassure the board. By email to all board members dated August 22nd, he wrote, "Dear all, I just got back from my second movie today from our upcoming slate. I am really pumped, as my kids would say. It makes the press flack and answering questions about executive longevity seem not so important because it is the exhilaration of the product that puts things in perspective." Eisner lauded the upcoming The Santa Claus 2, starring Tim Allen in a reprise of his successful 1994 role, and director Spike Lee's 25th Hour, which Eisner stressed was made for a modest $14 million. But his most revealing comments were reserved for Pixar. "Yesterday we saw for the second time the new Pixar movie, Finding Nemo, that comes out next